Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Hopefully QT and our guest will arrive shortly. In the meantime, if you're looking for some pro wrestling today, Fight or Die Wrestling happening in Indianapolis, Indiana today. Also, you have Blue Collar Wrestling like usual at the North Portland Eagles today, and international. You have stars from Japan coming to Portland, Oregon. They will be facing off against some of our local blue-collar wrestlers. Should be a huge show today in Portland, so definitely take the time to be with us in Portland if you're anywhere in the area. If you were in Seattle last night, you may have seen the big Project 42 show, Project 42. Huge, huge success last night. Lots of great action. You saw Jacob Sumas versus Guillermo Rosas in a fantastic match. You saw Caden Cassidy and Damon James in a big man match, just pounding each other. You saw Derek Drexel giving an impassioned speech for people to take it easy, and he didn't want to kill himself like he did last time in Project 42, only to see Dave Turner spear him into oblivion for a quick 1-2-3. There was a great six-man tag match, and in the main event you saw all kinds of chaos as the American Guns lost to the Cook brothers and then were brutally attacked by Nick Radford and his faction. American Guns got upset something fierce. No one was expecting that, but in the end, the Guns took the loss. I'm sure that they will be back for revenge the next Project 42. Stay tuned for details on that. QT, tonight should be a huge night for blue collar wrestling. Wrestlers all the way from Japan coming to town.
Guys, are you going to bear gifts to these wrestlers from Japan? Maybe some sushi that was flown in from Everett. Sushi.
That, I believe, would be a conflict of interest.
Well, I don't think it would be stereotypical, you know. I mean, I don't think they had ever received sushi from an American before.
They might have. They've been here for a few days now.
Oh, okay. Well, we can speculate. Which brings me to my other question. How come there has never been a wrestler in the Northwest called the Speculate Kid? Speculate.
Probably because it's not the most marketable of names.
Oh, okay. Now, were you at 3-2-1 Battle last night?
Well, since there was no 3-2-1 Battle show last night, I can confirm that I was not. However, I was at Project 42.
Oh, okay. Project 42, yes. Wow. All right, so how was the crowd last night at Project 42?
We had a very big, very loud crowd, like usual.
Now, I asked you before this was going to happen if Christopher Rysik was going to be there. Can you confirm or deny that he was not there?
I can confirm that he and Cat Galore were, in fact, at Project 42 in the front row.
Very good. Very good. Now, at any point in the action, did Christopher Ryzik offer his opinion or some advice to a referee at any time during this card?
He might have a time or two. I try to not focus on that aspect when I'm out there.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, did you see Christopher Ryzik in possession of a new mirror to replace the one that was broken in Marysville, Washington at CPW?
I did not see any such mirror.
Do you know at this time if Christopher Ryzik is planning on soliciting donations from Northwest Fan so he himself doesn't have to pay for said mirror?
I'm just going to presume he's going to have Cat Galore pay for it.
Cat Galore. Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Cat Galore, yes. Wow, okay. Well, now, Sign Guy, your most recent Sign of the Times. But you were in an overcoat, but very soon this overcoat is going to be shed in what is now becoming warmer weather in the Seattle area. And we have a new contest. When is the next Sign of the Times going to be filmed in 70-degree weather? And we've already got a submission from Kurt Frazes.
Well,
yes.
Considering I shoot at many undisclosed locations all over the country, would it be 70 degrees wherever I am at the undisclosed location where I film? Would it be 70 degrees where you are? Would it be 70 degrees in Puerto Rico? Set the stage.
I'm going to say the first 70-degree weather in specifically in the Seattle area.
So let's say I'm at an undisclosed location and we'll say Idaho. If it's 60 degrees in Idaho where I am filming, but it was 75 degrees in Seattle, then that would satisfy the contest win.
Okay, I guess that would be okay, yes. Yes.
All right.
Now, I have a feeling when you go to New York City that it's in April for WWE, it's not going to be that warm. I'm going to guess it's going to be in the low 60s.
Would you say 64 is going to be the warmest temperature I see?
In New York in April, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, QT, do you think it'll be dry in New York City when I'm there?
Well, this will be the first week. How many total days will you be in New York?
Seven.
Oh, there's bound to be at least 2 days of rain, although not heavy rain. I'm going to say you get one day of fairly steady rain and one day where it's overcast and misting. Yes.
I see.
Yes. Now, Sign Guy, when you last went to a WWE event, and I believe this was in New Orleans, how many T-shirts did you sell?
Well, the last time I was at a WWE event, that was in February in Everett.
Whoa, I thought it was New Orleans.
Well, I was in New Orleans last year.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, which one did you sell the more T-shirts at, Everett or New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Oh. Hey, I thought you were at the Moda Center this year.
No, I've not been down there this year.
Oh, okay. Well, you have before in the Moda Center. Yes.
I have before, correct.
All right. Which one out of Everett, the Moda Center, and New Orleans, which one did you sell the most signed guy T-shirts?
Probably in New Orleans.
I see, New Orleans. Okay. Now, do you keep a journal of your T-shirt sales at each location? That's an important question.
I do not.
Wow. What would you say your record amount of sales at one event was? One event.
Probably three or four.
Okay, well, that's not so bad. What's your record amount of sales at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Probably three or four.
Oh, tied. Okay. Not so bad. Now, how many T-shirts has Bob Hardy bought over the years? Bob Hardy.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Probably dozens.
Dozens? Wow. Holy smokes. He's probably your best customer.
I didn't say just mine. I thought you meant just T-shirts in general.
Oh, okay. No, specifically yours.
Oh. I don't know that I've sold one to Bob Hardy, which hurts me in my kidney. The left one more specifically.
Oh, all right. Okay. Wow.
QT, would you, in fact, buy a T-shirt of Bob Hardy if he were to market one?
No. What I think I would do is I'd pick up a jar of jam from the farmer's market in Olympia, a jar of jam, probably boysenberry, and then a barter for a said product from Bob Hardy, especially if it was a Bob Hardy T-shirt.
Now, what if there was a Bob Hardy coffee mug?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I've already got, I think, four coffee mugs, three or four. How much coffee can a guy drink?
Quite a bit.
Well, that's true. And sometimes those
QT,
mugs don't
can you
go
confirm
on.
Or deny that any of these coffee mugs has a picture of Diafola DeBasi on them?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. See, now most people drink coffee in the morning to wake up. If I was to go into the kitchen and grab a mug and it had Diafola DeBasi's picture on it, I think I'd be instantly awake. Yes. And I don't know
well,
if
so
I
so you
need
get
the
a
coffee.
Double win then.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. It'd be kind of like taking a shot of espresso when you didn't have espresso. Yes. Diafola DeBasi has that effect on people. Yes.
Now, have you ever been to a shooting range with Diafola DeBasi?
I have not, but I have been to a shooting range with Martin Cobble. Cobble, 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 yes.
Now, when he said Cobble, 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 did people shoot at him thinking he was a wild turkey?
No, he didn't. He didn't have any. He didn't have like those headbands that the Indians used to wear with turkey feathers, or the coveted black feather. The coveted black feather, being like what the Cowlitz Indian River Tribe awards their monthly award to the most inspirational Indian. I myself have never got the coveted black feather. But I think, I do hand out the fruit pies. The fruit pies were in the number one rankings. So I think undertaking awarding of a coveted black feather to wrestlers would be a little bit overkill. Would you yourself, sign guy, want to establish a coveted black feather award for the outstanding Northwest Wrestler of the Month?
Who would be paying for the black feathers?
Oh boy, I'm sure you'd have to go around and maybe steal some feathers to cut your overhead expenses and then dye these feathers black. Yes.
That seems very dishonest.
Oh, I am now getting a response from Kurt Frazes. Well, now he says reaction GIFs more cowbell. He doesn't actually confirm a day when he thinks the first Sign of the Times in 2019 will be filmed in 70-degree weather. He really hasn't given a concrete answer. I'm kind of disappointed in
positive?
That. Yes. 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 Now, Sign, have you ever been in a Sign of the Times with Kirk Frazes?
I don't believe that I have. Have you?
No. No, I haven't. That's something that I'd really like to something I'd like to undertake before I hang up my wrestling boots. Yes.
Now,
I'm just,
is that your biggest goal for the remainder of 2019?
Well, one of my immediate goals is to make sure that Kirk Frazes has seen episode Sign of the Times episode 42.5, the shot put discus duck episode.
I see.
I'm not sure if you've seen that one, the shot put discus duck episode.
I think you should ask him right away.
Well, okay. Okay. I'll have to put down my phone for just a minute. This is groundbreaking. Just a sec.
It really is.
Now, Sign, while I'm typing, can you tell in our massive audience when the next CPW card will be in Marysville, Washington? Because I surely hope to be there.
The next CPW card is April 20th.
Oh, April 20th. I am now marking that down on my calendar.
Oh, good. Now, do you have a calendar with pictures of cows on it?
No, I have a calendar of race cars. Race cars.
Is it stock cars or Indy cars?
Oh, they're muscle cars from the late 60s and 70s. Yes.
I see. Now, would those be stock cars then?
Let's see. The one for, I don't know if this is stock or street. Let me see. May has the 1968 Ford Mustang, and April, which I just wrote, CPW card in Marysville. April carries the, oh boy, this is a green car. Is this a Dodge Dart? It looks like a 1969 Ford Torino Talladega. Ooh, Torino Talladega.
Talladega is in Alabama.
Yes, that's where Will Ferrell made that movie, Talladega Nights.
I believe so.
All right, I have marked on my calendar CPW Marysville. I am now typing the last of my question to Kirk Frazes. Hopefully, Kirk Frazes immediately responds. Here we go.
This is pretty huge. This is groundbreaking.
I would say so, yes. All right. Question is submitted, and we are waiting for an answer. Okay. Well, Sign, can you fill us in on a little bit more of the action that took place last night? A little bit more.
Well, I recapped it, but the Cook brothers powerbombed Ethan HD through a series of chairs to garner the win. They did a lot of damage to Mike Santiago while Ethan HD was taped to the ring post.
Oh, my, this sounds pretty brutal. Pretty brutal indeed. Wow. Taped to the ring post.
He really was, with athletic tape.
That's a lot of tape. Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty rough. Boy. Well, now, Sign, it does. Sadly, I don't think Dudekind is going to show up. Would you yourself take the role of Mr. Dudekind as I ask you a question that I was going to ask him?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
I don't want to, you know, misrepresent Dudekind.
Okay. All right. I admire your purest form. Your purest form, yes. Okay. Just a hint of what I was going to ask. It involved the skit on Saturday Night Live with Christopher Walken and Will Ferrell. I'm going to give all our fans that clue. It's a very pertinent.
Was it last
question.
Night's episode?
Oh, last night? No. Saturday Night Live has gone downhill. Yes, since Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell left the air, and David Spade. Yes.
That was in the Clinton administration.
I guess in the early 90s, Clinton was president when the Saturday Night Live had that. Yes.
Now, QT, this contest you're running, how can people enter said contest? What do they have to do?
Well, now, let me see. I'm not quite sure where I sent that the 70s question. Let me see now. Who did I post that to? Was it Kurt Frazes? I think I may have sent that to Kurt Frazes. Let me see. Oh, yeah. No. Okay. No, I didn't send it. I think I may have sent that to you. Yes. Okay. Just look on your timeline. Yes.
And that'll tell me how to enter the contest?
Well, sure. You can say when the first 70 degree sign of the times would be. I'm hoping to get sunny days in on this competition.
For the irony?
I will send her a message right now. Yes. Just a second.
I'm sure she'll look forward to that.
No, I'm going to substitute Ron Von Hess. Ron Von Hess for sunny days. Here we go.
Wow, this is just riveting.
Something's riveting, yes.
And you have a big collection of Rosie the Riveter merchandise.
I do not. I wish I had a Rosie the Riveter poster. I think those would be worth quite a bit if they were like in mint condition from the 50s or 40s. Yes.
I would think so. How can you say Rosie the Riveter is in your top 15 marketing strategies of all time?
Rosie the Riveter and marketing strategies. Can you kind of verify marketing strategies?
Well, Rosie the Riveter, of course, was a merchandising and marketing ploy to try to drum up interest in joining the military.
Actually, I think it was war bonds. War bonds.
To support
the war financially. It may have been used as a recruiting tool. I'm not sure on that sign guy. Okay, I'm going to do a very quick search. Here we go. Or maybe it was like kind of like loose lips. Sink ships. Don't blab about military maneuvers. Let me do a research on this. I am typing it in right now. Rosie the Riveter. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
This is very huge. Rosie the Riveter. Let me see now. Definition. Do you know there was a Rosie the Riveter song?
I was not aware.
Yes. Riveter of Posters. Now, let me say, okay, here we go. We got Rosie the Riveter Poster Year, Rosie the Riveter Poster Date, Rosie the Riveter Poster Artist, Rosie the Riveter Poster Meaning. I'm going to click on Meaning. Here we go, Meaning. Okay, let me see now, Rosie the Riveter History. Okay, the true identity of Rosie the Riveter has been the subject of considerable debate. For years, the inspiration for the woman in the Westinghouse poster was believed to be Geraldine Hoff Doyle of Michigan, who worked in a Navy machine shop during World War II. Well, let me see now. That doesn't really what does Rosie the Riveter mean? Okay, here we go. Rosie the Riveter. Let me see now. Okay. Here we go. Rosie the Riveter is a fictional female munitions worker who was created to encourage women to join the workforce during World War II. Oh, okay. All right. Join the workforce. Okay. Well, it wasn't have anything to do with a be quiet of our military secrets or actually join the military. It was for workers to support the war effort.
Okay. Well, we were both wrong.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Okay. Faced with a lack of workers and a wartime economic boom of demand, American companies and munitions factories began putting out a call for women to join the workforce. Rosie the Riveter was created as part of a concentrated effort to recruit female workers. The song, Rosie the Riveter, which depicted a patriotic and driven female worker, was followed by a slew of images and slogans that encouraged American women to join the workforce. Okay, let me see now. Although Rosie the Riveter appeared in many incarnations during World War II, the most well-known version is a young white woman wearing a pair of blue coveralls and a red bandana to tie back her hair. She's flexing her right arm and grasping her bicep with her left hand. A speech bubble comes from her mouth saying, "We can do it." We can do it. Let me see. Post-war, Rosie the Riveter has endured as a feminist icon and symbol. The worker who joined the workforce was referred to The women who joined the workforce were referred to as Rosies, and their wartime taste of independence is credited with sparking the second wave feminist movement of the 20th century. Several celebrities, including Beyoncé and Pink, have dressed as Rosie the Riveter to make feminist statements. Her image continues to represent American feminism and women's empowerment. Wow. Okay.
Now, QT, can you confirm what your favorite Beyonce song is?
Oh, Beyonce. I don't even know a single song of hers.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Can you tell our fans what your favorite Beyonce song is?
I believe it's when she was part of that group and they did Say My Name.
Oh, okay. Was that with Boyz II Men? Boyz II Men?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now this kind of makes me want to look up the song Rosie the Riveter. Maybe I could send that to Aaron Bolo.
I'm sure he would look forward to it.
I'm not sure if Aaron Bolo would be too much into the history of Rosie the Riveter, seeing that he comes from the mean streets of Seoul, South Korea. I don't know if there's a patriotic connection there. Yes.
Possibly not.
Yes. Now, which blue-collar wrestler do you think would most be into Rosie the Riveter? The history of, the meaning of, and the song?
Sunny Days.
Sunny Days. Oh, no. Okay, that's a pretty good choice. Okay. I'm going to say Big V. Big B. Yes.
Well, I guess we could ask Big V.
I should ask him that. Now, let me see here. Documents that change the world, myth making, and we can do it poster. Now, let me see. Rosie the Riveter Wikipedia. I'm going to give you a few facts off Rosie the Riveter, Riveter Wikipedia real quick. Here we go. Now, let me see. We've got several. Okay, we've got the history. We've got impact. We've got homages. We've got recognition. Let me see. Let me see now. The term Rosie the Riveter was first used in 1942 in a song of the same name written by Red Evans and John Jacob Loeb, L-O-E-B. The song was recorded by numerous artists, including the popular big band leader Kay Kaiser, and it became a national hit. The song portrays Rosie as a tireless assembly line worker who earned a production E, doing her part to help the American war effort. Well, sign guy, when they say she earned a production E, do you know that in the Navy, when ship Navy and Coast Guard, when the ships are undergoing training, damage control training, which all ships have to be put through so their crews can be ready for, like, flooding and fire drills. They go through this training, and if they pass this training with a very high score, they get a battle E. No, not a battle E, a training E ribbon, a training E ribbon. Yes.
Now, where would they hang this ribbon?
They usually hang them, like, on the ship's, let me see now, pilot's wing, the navigation wing, the bridge, right by the bridge, where they do the navigation and the steering. And there's usually a row of ribbons, and part of that is like a training ribbon.
I see. Now, how many of these did you win in your day?
Oh, I underwent quite a bit of training. Like once in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, we had training where we'd have to have firefighting training and underwater training and stuff like that. Yes.
Now, did you have any Cuban sandwiches while down in Guantanamo Bay?
No, but I believe I had a Cuban sandwich in Key West. Yes.
Well, that's some kind of irony.
You can get very good Cuban sandwiches in Key West, along with some very good cigars, although I never really brought a cigar in Key West. They actually have a store that hand rolls cigar in Key West, right near Mallory Square, where everyone gathers to watch the sunsets.
Everyone, huh?
Well, pretty much everyone, yes. Yeah, here's a fun fact. I was there in December 31st, 1999, and I watched the last sunset of the old millennium go down over the Florida Keys. December 31st, 1999. Yes. I've got a picture of it. Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, will you blow this picture up and sell posters of it at the Blue Collar Wrestling merchandise tables?
I think I'd like to show Tex Thompson an enlarged picture of this last sunset in the Florida Keys. Tex Thompson,
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, do you think that Tex Thompson heart-punching Mr. Sexy Pants recently will have any bearing on this week's top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings, despite the fact that it happened more than 2 weeks ago?
Whoa, now this is it. Did Tex Thompson pin the right arm of Lance Dean behind his neck, and did he heart punch him like Stan Stasiak did to Andre the Giant one time?
He may have done that to Lance Dean at some point in the past, but that wouldn't have affected his heart punch to Mr. Sexy Pants at all.
Oh, Mr. Sexy Pants, okay. Well, was Mr. Sexy Pants dropped to his knees as a result of this heart punch? That's what I'm asking.
No, he went flat on his back.
Did he lose the match because of this heart punch? Did Mr. Sexy Pants?
That I cannot confirm or deny.
Oh, at that moment, did you yourself witness this heart punch?
Yes, I did.
Did you immediately turn around and go to the concession stand for a hot dog?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what were you doing? I mean, were you awed at the heart punch, or what was the outcome? Did you stay riveted in your seat? And that's not a Rosie the Riveter thing. Yes.
Should have been. I was actually in the ring at the time.
Whoa, okay. So you were referee at the time. Oh, okay. Wow. Holy smokes. Well, I guess this could Sunday really affect next week's top 9 7/8. What did you think of this week's top 9 7/8? Very controversial.
Now, will you be going to the next NALA show to deliver the fruit pie to Deb Marie?
Well, there's a very good chance on this. I am going over to a track meet in Ellensburg, Washington, and it's set for April 13th. Do we have the NALA card following that on the 14th?
I don't know the next date of NALA. I know that they just ran last night.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So that gives them 3 weeks till the next event. It's a very good possibility I might be able to deliver this fruit pie on Sunday the 14th. I will keep you abreast of the developments of this. It'd be great to kill two birds with one stone.
I see.
Track me and then deliver a fruit pie.
Yes.
Well, QT, it looks like Too Kind is not going to be here today, apparently. We've been Lance Deaned. Dude Kind is Lance Deaned as QT.
Yes, Lance Dean is like the human torpedo of interviews.
Wow, I will let him know that later tonight. But I guess since it looks like Dude Kind not going to make it, we'll wrap up a little bit early. I'll get a jump going down to Blue Collar Wrestling. QT, do you speak any Japanese at all? Because the Japanese are invading Blue Collar Wrestling just as they had invaded Woo America the last couple of days.
I am like that lady in Kill Bill when she enters the chop to meet the sensei for the first time. And you know Japanese? Domo arigato. Ooh, very good. No, actually, he says, what would the lady like to drink? And she goes, warm sake. Warm sake? Very good. I do a very good imitation about that. Yes.
I see. All right. Well, if you're near the North Portland Eagles, come out, support Blue Collar Wrestling. You can catch us on the Fight TV app. You can catch us on nothingelsetowatch.com. Apparently, so definitely if you have the chance, come out and check out some international wrestling today. And we'll be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon, Nacho Barrera out of the AWA with us. And 1 week from today, seeing Dale Houston making his way back for currently inactive month. We'll be back with you next week.